Good morning. Happy National Telephone Day, which is a real thing. I was reading about it, and there's over 9.8 billion mobile phones in the world, 930 million landlines. That's a lot of phone calls. I mean, you know, and it's not bad enough you can make the calls. You got 15 different kinds of answering machines just so you don't miss one. You know, and it's ridiculous. It's even in my car. And I guess the first, one of my questions is, who made the rule that you have to answer a phone just because it rings? You know, as many times I have and wished I didn't. But, and I appreciate people are so worried about my car's warranty, too, but... This morning, I'd like to talk about a different kind of call. You know, God calls believers to take on certain tasks or to move in certain directions or to be different people. And I'd like to talk some this morning about how people reacted to that in Scripture and how we should react to that. And before you can really answer a call, you got to recognize it. You got to realize that, yeah, it is God that's talking to me. And sometimes it's not so clear. You know, there are times where it's pretty obvious, you know, where almost like God slaps you upside the head like he did to Paul. Or other times where it's really obvious. But then again, it's not so easy all the time. And I'd like to start with a scripture, 1 Samuel 3... And 3 to 10, you know, Samuel was dedicated by his mother to serve in the temple. So he lived there the whole, from when he was, I think, 2 years old on. And one night, he's laying down, and, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." I bet Eli was happy about being woke up. Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." You can almost hear their voices getting a little more tense each time. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." You can tell he's getting more urgent. And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Before we can listen to what God has to say to us, we have to realize he's talking to us. And you know, and there are different ways to get to make this clear, to make sure of this. You know, and one of the first things about it is if you think God's talking to you, pray about it. Ask him. Ask him what he wants. But more than that, and just prayer, talk to him about it too, like when you're cutting the grass or driving. Just keep like a running conversation with God. And you know, that's one of the main thing is to communicate with him. Another thing you can do is go ask a more experienced believer, someone you trust, who, what Samuel did. He went and asked somebody, and he got the information he needed. It's not to say that you have to depend on their advice or what they tell you to do, but it is important to listen to what they have to say because they know more. They've been through it more. And you can trust them. Another thing that's may not realize is read the text God sent you. And it's right there in the pew in front of all of you, the text God sent you. Years ago, he sent him to you. Read there. Look through that. See what he has to say about this. Maybe he's calling you to, he could call you to do, you know, he may call you to be a missionary. Or he may call you to a more daring thing, to work in the nursery. Or to help in Sunday school, or to help, you know, there's just all kinds of things that God calls people to do. And some of them are big deals. Some of them are life-changing. Some are life-threatening. I mean, that's why, you know, we always tend to ask, are you sure about this? And then the other thing is to be patient. You know, if God calls you, you don't have to answer right away if you're not sure. He understands how we are. He understands the doubts we have because we're human. He understands that sometimes we're just not sure. So, you know, if we do go through these steps and we ask him, you know, what? I don't know. Is it, you know, is it the Lord talking to me, or is it that buffalo hot wings I ate in bed last night? You know, could be any number of things. But it's okay to ask. And it's okay to be not sure. Because we don't all get the messages that are, like I said, upside the head. Now, if you've recognized the call, you respond to it. Once you know God's talking to you, you need to respond to it. And there are three possible responses. The first one is no. That's not a good idea. I mean, you tell God no, and you're liable to be thrown overboard and swallowed by a huge fish and have to stay inside of it for 3 days. Just ask Jonah, see how much he liked it. But there are other things that can swallow you when you start saying no to God. One of them is guilt. I should have done it. I should have done it. And it may not destroy your relationship with the Lord right away, but it will gnaw away at it. And it will, like I said, open a little hole where Satan can work to get you to, well, if you say no, then maybe I won't care anymore. And you know, if you say no to God, then you can say no to just about anything. So it's a very dangerous thing. And it's not like you say no and then all of a sudden, bam, you know, we're done. And that's it. And God washes his hands of us. But we start to edge away then. Just maybe little tiny baby steps. And then sometimes if he does call you again, you're reluctant to say, well, yeah, I'll do it. Because you'll, in the back of your mind, you go, what I did last time. How did I screw it up last time? So no, it's not a good idea. It damages you. It damages your relationship with the Lord. And it damages you spiritually. And this sort of screws up your future too, although you not know it at the time. Now, the second response is who? Me? You talking to me? You hear God talking, look around and see who's he really talking to? Can't be me. Can't want me to do this. Can't want me to take this chance. And one of the examples is, you know, Moses was in hiding. He was running because he did a bad thing. And he was afraid. So he went and ran, and he was out in the desert taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And he sees this burning bush. And he's thinking, now there's something you don't see every day. Let's go and take a look, see what it's about. So he gets closer, and God sees him approach. He says, stop. Stop, Moses. Moses goes, here I am. And God tells him, everything that he is, has, can we go back one to Exodus? No, that's not it either. You guys don't want me dancing. So anyway, Moses goes through this. God tells Moses what he wants him to do. He goes through this long, you know, and Moses, you can tell Moses just don't want to do it. He comes up with every explanation. Every time the Lord comes up with something, Moses comes with a reason not to. And the Lord settles that, and Moses comes back again. And finally, Moses gets called out. And finally, he says, come on, can't you send somebody else? I don't want to do it. Well, he didn't say that part, but can't you send someone else? Pardon your servant. He says it real polite-like. He says, Lord, please send somebody else. And here again, you can almost hear this whining in his voice. Please send. And it says after that that God's anger burned against Moses. And he answered even that. He said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. So the Lord, you know, answered Moses' doubts and all. And finally, the Lord says, look, you have to make a choice, yes or no. Not what me, not maybe. Yes or no. And that's an important thing to remember for us. I mean, we can ask our questions, and we can check, and we can, you know, do all we can to find out for sure. But sooner or later, you have to make a decision, yes or no. And, you know, and the Lord will bless those who say yes. And he won't destroy you if you say no necessarily, but I'd stay out of thunderstorms if he did. But anyway, you know, and then I got to think about, you know, what are some of the reasons for reluctance? Why are we reluctant to serve the Lord or answer his call, excuse me? And one of the things is, you know, Satan's trying to damage our relationship with the Lord. And he usually can't just, you know, whop it and destroy it all of a sudden. But he damages us in little bits. He like sort of picks at it a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. You know, and one of the things that he uses is, you know, what ifs. What if it doesn't work? Or like Moses said, what if they don't listen to me? What if I ruin it again? All these what ifs. And God's answer to what if is, so what? I'm not asking you to worry about what ifs, what hasn't even happened yet. Just start. Go from there. And there again, Satan's not trying to, but he's trying to hold us back. Trying to damage it. Another thing that keeps us from, or makes us reluctant, is a desire to stay in our comfort zones. I like sitting in my pew. You know, and I'm supposed to move over and let that other person sit in the pew too. God tells you to move over. You know, and I guess I forgot to mention that part, that the things that God calls us to do are not always dramatic. Sometimes he just calls us to say hi to somebody or be nice to somebody or to you know, maybe take on a big task. I'll tell you one that's happened to me. You ever have where out of nowhere somebody pops into your head and you just know you're supposed to pray for him, but you don't know why? You don't know. I mean, you may not have seen him for 5 years, but all of a sudden they pop in your head and you can't avoid it. You know, that's a call from God. Pray for him. Hey, you. And, you know, and that desire to stay in our comfort zone, well, I'm sort of busy now. You know, there's the what ifs, and then there's also the I'm too. that Satan uses. I'm too busy. I'm too too old. Amen. I'm just too tired. I'm too this and I'm too that. And, you know, and some of those things may be true. You know, but God's there to help you through those things. Or he'll send somebody your way to help you do it. You know, and that's another thing that Satan uses. You know, he uses half-truths. He'll tell you, well, I'm too important to be doing this. Or I'm too lowly to be doing this. I don't know enough to be doing this. Those things may be true. But you forget, you've got God on your side. That makes anything possible. Scripture says, God, all things are possible. And so there's the desire to stay in your comfort zone. There's just plain out fear. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid to get up in front of people and talk. I'm afraid to get in front of people and sing, which nobody's ever going to ask me to do. But anyway, I've been asked to sing, and right away somebody thinks a small animal is being mistreated somewhere. Or fear of being laughed at. Fear of being ridiculed. Fear of thinking, well, all these other people have been Christians for a million years, and they know everything, and they're strong in their faith, and they never do anything bad, and they're just about perfect, and I can't meet that standard. And fear that you won't meet that standard. And there again, God says, so what? I set the standards. Not everybody else, not you. We're going to talk about those standards a little later, too. So there's a desire to stay in your comfort zone. There's a doubt about the call, which comes from the first part. You know, he can't really mean me. He must mean somebody else. God must have a wrong number. Nah, God's got your number, and he knows where you're at. So, you know, we have to work through those reasons for reluctance sometimes. It's not, you know, just, well, God, take it away from me, and I'll be just peachy. It ain't necessarily so. Sometimes you have to work at it. But if you have the desire to serve him and the desire to do what he wants, you'll work through all those things, or try to anyway, and the Lord will help you. So we've had reason one, or response one is no. Response two is who, me? Response three is yes. Yes. And I've got a couple scriptures that I'd like to read about that. Psalm 40. This, and the psalmist says, then I said, here I am. I have come, and it is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. This is sort of an open-ended thing. This is when you want to do God's will, and you wanted to do something for him, and you're willing to do whatever he asks. You're willing to do. Instead of waiting for him to call you, you go to him and ask. What do you want? What do you need? I'll be glad to do it because here I am and I want to serve you, and it's in my heart. Not just, you know, something I have to do. It's in my heart. I want to serve you. Now, the other way to answer is Isaiah and 6:8. Should be there, I think. Yeah, there it is. Now, preface this a little bit. Isaiah had a vision, and he saw the cherubim and whatever around the throne of God, and God's on the throne. He says, you know, who are we going to send? Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. You can almost see Isaiah going, ooh, ooh, me. I want to go. Let me do it. And he was sending them on a hard task. He was sending them to read the riot act to Israel. You know, and tell them just what was going on. Yet, here again, Isaiah was eager to serve the Lord, more than a little bit. He had a real specific task in mind. And he was driven to do it, almost driven, I should say, moved to do it. In an anxious way, it was more than just willing. He was willing to do it, but he was eager. And that combination together can do great things for the Lord. If you're willing to do it, yeah, that's good. You can do something. But if you're eager to do it, you know, that's even more. You know, and sometimes I think another thing that struck me about Isaiah, we think that if the Lord calls us, well, it's just something we don't never done before, something we don't really want to do, or something we're uncomfortable doing, whatever. But he also calls us to do things we really like doing. You know, there's nothing wrong with enjoying what God wants you to do. I mean, God may call you to be a singer, and you really like singing, and you enjoy it. Good. Great combination. Works out for both of you. Or he may call you to work with the youth or kids or something. And you really like kids. And and that's a good thing too. There's all kinds of possible ways. He may call you to work in the flower beds because you like working on flowers. And you're good at it too. Sometimes he calls us to things we're good at. It's not always something uncomfortable or that we don't like. So, like, if you answer yes, and you're willing and you're eager, go for it, because you'll do great things. And you'll accomplish great things for the Lord, mind you and him together. It's not always just you, because if it was just you, it would probably end up being less than spectacular. Now, having said that, we recognize the call, we respond to the call, and there's some things to remember about responding to the call and answering God's call. The first thing is obedience and faith are more important than success. God calls you to do something. You don't have to make it work. If it doesn't work out, the only thing that matters is obedience and faith. You obeyed him, and you were faithful in what you did. You tried your best. You know, and that goes back to some of the doubts we talked about too, that when we don't have to worry, what if I don't get it right? What if I really blow it? More than just get it a little bit wrong, I just totally lost it. That's okay. As long as you do what the Lord asks you to do and you're obedient to him, that's all he asks. And you'll still say, well done. Well done. We're in such a success-oriented society that we think, well, if somebody, you know, doesn't accomplish what they set out to do, then they're a failure. And that's not the case at all. It's not the case at all. We're only a failure if we don't try, if we don't obey, if we don't have faith. Another thing to remember is that, and this is a little bit of an understatement, results may not be what we expected or hoped for. You know, we're obedient and we're faithful, and all of a sudden it didn't work out so good. You know, it's sort of like you think you've baked a real nice cake and you pull it out of the oven and it looks like a pizza that died. But It just doesn't work out well. That doesn't mean you did something wrong. That doesn't mean you failed God. That just means you had, there's something else going on maybe that you don't know. And you know, and it's good to have expectations to start out like Isaiah said, you know, here, I'll go, and I'm willing to do it, and I'm all excited about it. And then all of a sudden, real life gets in the way. And people don't cooperate, or people actively oppose, or well-meaning people get in your way and try to stop you from hurting yourself. That's okay, as long as it goes back to being obedient and faithful. Now, this one I had to think about a little bit. Being called is more than a chore. It's a privilege. You know, it's like you've got something to do. I go back to a kid and their parent. When my boys were smaller, I let them cut grass with me. You know, it would, but not really. They would sit there and hold the handle in front of me, and we'd push the mower. To them, it was a privilege. Twarn't no privilege to me, but they thought they were doing something. And they were helping. They were learning. It was a privilege. Or you'd make scrambled eggs in the morning, you'd let them stir the eggs, you know, or not stir the eggs, that's not the word I'm looking for. Scramble them, you know, whisk them. Even though you ended up with egg on the wall, the counters, and everywhere else. But there, it's a privilege. You know, you get to do that. And we sometimes forget that when God calls us, we think, oh, no, not again. I don't want to. I'm tired. But then we forget what a privilege it is. Just think, out of all the people in the whole universe, he picked you to do that job. He had that much confidence in you. And he thought, yeah, we'll let him do it. Or her do it, excuse me. That, you know, that makes it how much we forget. How hot a property God thinks we are. He thinks we're so special that he let his son die for us. But more than that, he lets us mess with his stuff. And even though he knows that frequently we're going to mess it up, but he still lets us do it. We don't have to. He lets us. And that's a special thing. So, we've got here I am, and we recognize the call, we respond to it. Remember these things when we respond to it, how our response doesn't work out the way we always thought it would. Sometimes it will. Those things are great. You know, and there's nothing wrong with being happy about doing a good job for God. It feels good. There's nothing wrong with that. But then, the last thing is God answers our call. When we call him, he answers back. And it's Isaiah, I'm not sure which one I have in there. No. Okay, I'll find it here. Ah, yeah. No, not that Isaiah, the other. Isaiah 58 or 65, one or the other. Anyway, Isaiah 50. Oh, it's there, I think. Don't have it? Okay. How about, okay, let me see here. Isaiah, oddly enough, I have it. 58:9. And God says, you know, he's telling Israel that you guys get your act together. Well, that isn't exactly what he said, but close. Get your stuff together. Do what you're supposed to do. Try. then he says in Isaiah 58:9, then you will call, and the Lord will answer you. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. God answers our call too. It works both ways. When we need help, even when we're trying to do his will and it's not going so well, and we cry for his help, all we got to do is call to him, and he says, here I am. Here I am. I'm right here. You don't have to, you know, it's not a long distance call to get a hold of God too, by the way, in case somebody didn't tell you. It's a local call, you know. But then, you know, so often we've been talking about believers and how they react to God's call and how they should react to God's call. But he also calls to those that don't believe, that don't know him, just like he called us at one time. In Isaiah 65:1, God says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here I am, here am I. Excuse me, here am I, here am I. Emphasized, here am I, here am I. God wants us, wants the world, wants people so bad that he still, when they call on him, or they don't even have to call on him, he's still saying, here I am, here I am. And sometimes he uses us to deliver that message. There he is. There's the one. Remember, I know I'm going to get these wrong. Andrew told Nathaniel that, look, we found the Savior. We found the Messiah. And Nathaniel thought, yeah, right, okay. But he went and told. And so often, when we tell, when it's our, it sounds like our voice, but it's God saying, when we serve, when we minister, when we witness in whatever way, we think it's us talking. But a lot of times it's God using us to say, here I am, here I am, come to me. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you so much for your gift of allowing us to be your servants and to do your work and to be part of your ministry. We are sometimes overwhelmed by it. But Lord, we want to do as much as we can, as well as we can for you. And if for no other reason, that's what you did for us. Help us to be those people you know we can be, and be those servants you know we can be. Help us to make a difference. Just help us to do whatever we need to do. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.